Why do you think there's such a remnant, like a resonance towards memes?
Oh, good question. I think sometimes we communicate with words, pretty often. And there are other times when, especially when we're using our phones, that you can communicate with a GIF or JIF or however you pronounce it. And I'm thinking of like the Homer Simpson backing into the bushes. That's a lot of words that I don't know. I don't know what words to put to that GIF, but it means something. And I don't know. I think that carries across the board for memes.
So I think a meme similar to Homer disappearing into the bush is a segment of story where you,
Sure.
yeah, and so essentially when you see an image, especially from a popular cartoon during a very popular moment, like it brings people, snaps them back into that reality, and in that way, like penetrates to what they're feeling.
Totally. Yeah, I guess we know Homer Simpson. So we already know something about the person in this image that we're seeing, and then we're seeing them back away from an awful thing, and it's, I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Cool. And so you started this project. By the way, what's the name of this project?
Great question. I don't really have one. I get called the cutout guy all the time. So I don't know. I'm like Portland wooden cutouts, scavenger hunts.
Cool. So how did you find your way here? What was your call to adventure to be? Hey, you know what? I want to do cutout art.
So my parents sent me a stack of Calvin and Hobbes books from my childhood. I moved out a while ago, but it takes a long time to get all your belongings across the coast or across the country. In those comics, Calvin makes a lot of snowmen to annoy his parents. And I remember we were like getting a late snowstorm, and I wanted to make one of the snowmen that Calvin makes to annoy his parents, but like, if you make out of snow, it's not gonna last that long. So I borrowed a neighbor's jigsaw and I made one out of wood and put it in the front yard. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
And so once you planted that, did enough people pass you by and say, like, hey, I really enjoy that, too? At some point, it just hit a threshold where maybe there's something here
It's
and
kind of what it was. Yeah, I've always been an illustrator, and granted, in this situation, as recreating someone else's artwork, neighbors really seemed to enjoy it. I saw a few cars like stop and then back up to like make sure they actually saw that. And yeah, I guess it's a great thing to see a reaction to something that you made.
And I'm curious to hear why you feel like it's been such a hit, specifically in Portland.
Yeah, I feel like we live in a city where anywhere you look, you do see art anyway, whether that be a mural or a bridge or like a cool fence. there's art everywhere, so why not just add more to it? And I just think we as a city want to foster each other and, bring each other up. And there's such a positivity to everything about this project that it just feels so good, and I can't stop.
So you've always found a way to demonstrate through art a way to uplift people and make people experience just a moment of awe.
I mean, maybe.
Cool.
I
Is that
appreciate
too
you
much?
saying
Yeah,
that.
yeah,
No,
yeah.
no, no. It feels, I mean, that feels great.
Okay.
I struggle with that sometimes, but I guess that is ultimately what I'm trying to do. My studio is in my garage, and my garage is a street-facing garage. So when you walk down the street and see like the 70-plus ridiculous cartoon characters, it feels pretty good. It still
Cool.
does to me, so.
I feel like if I were your neighbor, I would immediately feel like I was just in the presence of someone who was allowing themselves to embrace their weird. You know, that thing that sets you apart, but rather than be shunned for it, like the community calls you to do more of it. Do you have people reaching out to you, finding out like how they can find themselves and how you found your art form?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think Instagram messaging is a beautiful thing. It makes all this accessible and easy and kind of informal, and that's really great. I've had recently, this is amazing. This is my favorite thing. Recently, I had an uncle of an 11-year-old reach out and say, "Hey, my nephew has been making art and hiding it around the city because he saw your work." And he made little iPods and little cones, and I recently collaborated with another artist named Becky Margoof, who Margraf, sorry, I used her Instagram handle. We made little Yetis, and he made his own Yetis, and it is the coolest thing.
Wow.
So he's actually making art as an 11-year-old. You're supposed to be selfish as 11, and he's giving it away, and it's so great. It's so great. I love it so much.
So, a follow-up question would be, What kind of advice would you give to someone who has yet to find their call to adventure?
Okay, so prior to having this bout of success,
yes.
I feel like you someone always gets told, like, just make the thing and put it out there. And, like, when you hear that, you think, yeah, but, like, that worked for you. It's not going to work for me. But then I did it, and, like, it worked. Like, I just keep making the thing, and, you know, I keep making the thing and putting it out there and trying to combat that little demon inside you that says you're being annoying, because you're not. People are enjoying what you're seeing. It's just do it.
Yeah.
We'll do the Shia LaBeouf do it.
With the green screen back.
Yeah.
And wooden cutouts all around him.
Yep.
Just do it. So get out there, pursue where you feel your bliss lies,
mm-hmm.
and just follow through on something.
Yeah, and I think another big thing is don't be afraid to make friends. The art community here is so amazing, and, you know, I feel like I didn't even have to try to make friends. Like, it just sort of happens organically if you're willing to respond to a comment.
What was an unexpected hurdle that you had on this journey?
Okay, this is cool, actually. So you mentioned right off the bat, you talked about memes. A lot of my first, 50 pieces were recreations of memes or cartoons that I liked. So I was making a Homer Simpson, or I was making a Squidward from SpongeBob, and I'm like, well, these are really cool and everything, and it's great that I recycled this wood, but I would never sell these because it's not my artwork. You know, like, what am I going to do with this giant Squidward head that I have in my garage?
Yeah.
And that's kind of when I got the idea to trade these for charity donations to local charities. I only have so much space. Can't keep all this wood in the garage. So folks were reaching out saying they wanted to buy something. And I was like, unfortunately, they're not for sale. But please go donate to Sisters of the Road, New Evidence for Youth, One Tale at a Time. And if you do, send me a screenshot of your donation. Please don't put my name on it. Just do your thing. And you can take a piece of wood from my garage. So I've made over $12,000 since starting this in like 8 months because of this little hurdle that I had, which was not a plan. Like, that is not what I was trying to do.
How do you go about picking the characters for your woodcut art pieces? Because obviously there's a resonance factor here that's consistently on the mark. Like, how are you on this frequency of knowing what Portlanders will be most into?
Yeah, so you and I are adults.
Trying to be.
I post on TikTok a lot. I post behind-the-scenes videos, and that audience is much younger than we are,
mm-hmm.
and they're much better at the internet, and they know memes before anyone else. So I just try to, like, watch what's happening over on TikTok, and I'm like, Peppa Pig is going to be huge soon, I can tell. So, you know, like, I try to keep an eye on that. And then when it comes to, like, my own illustrations, I don't know. I guess, like, this month I'm making Pokemon every day, and I kind of love Pokemon, and I know I'm not alone.
To summarize your success so far into a slogan, like, what do you think the slogan of the movement would be?
Ooh. So I get all my wood from the Rebuilding Center on Mississippi, which is a great place if you've never checked it out. I mean, you can go in there and get any piece to any project that you need, and it's just a community-driven establishment. Can't recommend it enough. But their slogan is, I love that place. And I don't know. There's a lot to say. I've seen people use that slogan without seeing the sticker. You know, they're just like, oh, I love that place. And I'm like, hey, by the way, look at that sticker. It just says, you know. So I don't know. This feels really corny, but, like, a lot of what I'm making is because I love that thing. Like, yeah. I want it to be in my garage, so I just made it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love Pikachu.
Yeah.
And now I have it.
Is there any question that we haven't asked that you would like to me to ask?
Yeah. Let's talk about the pets, because I paint a lot of animals.
Okay.
One of the other unexpected things that came out of this was I had an account reach out at Space Whippet, which is a local Whippet, which is a dog, who goes to science museums and has been on all sorts of spaceships, not actually in space, but it's an incredible local account. I can't recommend it enough. But they had noticed that at one point I was painting dogs in dog parks just for fun, just leaving the paintings for people to find. So they asked if, like, hey, would you paint my dog? So they brought Space Whippet over, Cooper, and I painted Cooper, and it was a blast, and I shared it on social media, and now like everyone wanted their dog painted. So I painted a lot of the cool little animal celebrities in Portland. I got to spend a day with Rojo, who we all miss, but Rojo was in my garage for a day as we painted, and Scout the Golden Retriever, and Beth the three-legged pardon thy French, who's a great account as well. But that's kind of that allowed me to quit my job and start doing this full-time. As I'm While I'm doing all of this, I'm also painting people's pets in my garage, which is great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's like the happiest of accidents.
I feel like there's a spectacle quality in what you put out into the Portland community, where like you create spectacles which please people, and then you also have this sustainable project that is still your art form, but in a way where you can make a livelihood. You've found alignment, it seems like.
It's really cool because it's pretty exclusive right now. Like, I'm only offering it to people who can come to my studio with their pet,
mm-hmm.
Which is not, again, not intentional, but it's just like, I haven't figured out how to ship these things.
Yeah.
The Washington Post wanted a Waluigi cutout that I have, which is a crazy sentence to say out loud. And, like, I couldn't find a place that could ship it for less than, like, $1,300 because of the weird size of all these things. So mm-hmm. It's kind of another happy accident, a series of happy accidents that led to, like, if you're in Portland with your pet, you can get a pet portrait. If you're not, you might have to wait.
How did you start finding that you were on the right path?
Well, just to bring it all back to Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did notice... I was making art for a long time, and I was sitting at the same number on Instagram forever. And as soon as I started making these wooden pieces and putting them out in the wild, I was like, oh, people are into this. The numbers are going up. That's really cool. Because it is. I know it's superficial to talk about it that way, but I was like, man, I like quadrupled my following in a few months, and that's insane.
How can people find more about you, Mike Bennett?
Great question. If you want to know more about me, is this a okay time to plug something?
Yeah.
I do a podcast every week with my fiance, Michelle, and it's about cartoons, but it's not. Like, we watch 90s cartoons that maybe Michelle didn't get to see and that I want to show her, or vice versa occasionally, but... ultimately, it is a show where we just kind of learn about each other. And if you want to learn about me and another great human being, I would say listen to Killer Tofu, which you can find anywhere by searching that.
And how'd you come up with the name Killer Tofu?
Well, in Doug, which is one of the best cartoons ever, there's a band called The Beats who have a hit song named Killer Tofu. I wanted a deep cut, but not too deep.
And regardless of which direction it goes, what mm-hmm. matters to you is bringing a smile to people's faces.
Bring a smile to people's faces, and I'd love to make art for a living, too.
Yeah.
You know, both are very important. I want to bring a smile to my face, too.
Yeah. So you found your bliss. You found the thing that you're contributing to the community, but you're also fulfilling an inner self-fulfillment.
I'm very happy.
Cool.
And I think that comes out in the art. So
yeah.
It's great.
I think so too. I think a lot of Portland would agree. And thank you for coming in today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
Yeah.